Today is the launch of our fall life group semester, everybody, and we're very, very excited about that. And here's what I want to say to you, because I know it happens. It happens to every single person, especially if you're newer to the church. Maybe you don't have a lot of friendships or comfort with us yet or whatever. Here's something that I love to say, that we're good in rows. Like, this atmosphere is good. We are great in circles. We need relationships with people, because when you're up, you need some people that can celebrate with you. And when you're down, you need some people that can cry with you, encourage you, help you. And I'm just saying to you, don't do life alone, everybody. Just like Miss Jan said, we're all busy. Busy is a real thing, but relationships, you've got to have them. Amen, everybody. And so I want to just promote quickly. You'll see a bunch of people today in these shirts, and they're going to say, ask me about life groups. So do that. Go ahead and ask them about life groups. Tell me more. What group are you leading, or what do you know? You can go to cotr.live, and you can find all the information you need about groups that are already registered and posted. There will probably be more over the coming days and maybe even couple of weeks that decide to add or jump in, and I just want to encourage you to look for that. And then I want to encourage you to meet us outside, right outside that wall. When you go to exit out, just turn left and walk out here. We're going to have Kona Ice, everybody. You can get some refreshing, cool stuff. I have one person excited. It is her husband's birthday, so I'm glad you guys are put. Go get you a little birthday celebration, Wayne. We would love that. And then listen, moms and dads, here's what I'm going to encourage you. Jump on the trolley, go next door, get your kids, bring them back. First of all, they want to ride the trolley because it's fun. And then secondly, they need some Kona Ice too. Amen? All right, you're going to want to do that. All right, last thing I'm going to say about groups is this. I really mean this, and I want to encourage some of you. Some of you are in the fight of your life right now. Some of you have stuff going on the inside of you that you're like, man, I just wish this stuff wasn't true about me. Or true in me. I wish I didn't have this battle or this struggle, or I feel held back by something. And I just want to promote that we have a group that I would encourage you to go through at least at some point in your journey with Church on the Rock. And we call those Freedom in Christ groups, FIC. You might hear it abbreviated by people when they mention it. And I'm just saying to you that if you need freedom from some things, this is the group for you. If you're in a struggle, if you've got addictions, if you've got stuff, as you may have heard it said, hurts, habits, and hang-ups from your past or your story or whatever, freedom is for you. You need a Freedom in Christ group, and I just want to promote that specifically. I've been through freedom 3 different times, and every time God does a deep work on the inside of me. Every single time, because there is stuff in my life too. I am just a person, everybody. And I just expose myself for God to unearth whatever he wants to unearth and move in me whatever he wants to move. And I just encourage some of you, that's exactly what you need. And you'll meet friends there too, relationships there too. I promise you, you won't regret it. So look that up. Okay, listen. Everybody feel good about that? All right, cool. It's life group, so go get in one. You need it. We all need it. All right, lastly, what a great day. So we have communion today that we've already partaken of together. Life groups launched today. We're going to have a little Kona Ice party afterwards. And then yesterday was the finale of our season of 21 days of prayer here at Church on the Rock. We did that at the beach. I'm going to need to hear you if you were there. Who was at the beach yesterday with us? Yeah, so our finale in August always ends on the beach, where we watch and celebrate and participate along with people that are baptized. They make an outward expression of an inward change. And if you missed it, I want to show you this real quick. Check this out. Come on, give God some praise, would you? I heard some of y'all over that direction trying to celebrate when they were being baptized. That's our culture. That's what we do. So every time somebody came out of that water, man, we were just explosive in our praise, cheers, whistles. We were drawing a crowd. I don't know how many of you guys came. It was amazing, though. Well over 100 people represented yesterday. And listen to me, we baptized 28 people yesterday. It was incredible. It was incredible. Thank you guys for what you do. You guys are amazing. So listen, I want to get into it today. I've got a little bit of a message, and I say it like this because it's not this big, long, elaborate message. I want to talk to you today, if I may, about some vision. Just want to unpack a little bit of vision with you. Is that okay? And so weeks ago, I was saying, hey, I really would like to have Vision Sunday at the end of our season of 21 Days of Prayer. And as we begin to get closer and closer, I begin to freak out more and more. I just began to think, like, what am I going to say? I don't know what to even tell our church. You know, like, do we have vision? I was, like, nervous. Like, am I not leading well? All of these little insecurities and question marks started to come up into my mind. And that started to put me at a little, unrest in my spirit a little bit. And then this past week, I do not like to prepare this week's message this week, by the way. That is not my flow. I like this week's message prepared like 5 weeks ago. That's how I like to roll. And so here I am week of, and I'm in a panic. Like, come on, God, I just need something. I don't have to say vision. Just give me something from you, and I'll preach to our church. And I felt like God just sort of like let me off the hook and just gave me peace. And here's what I thought was, vision is not necessarily always about seeing like way out front. It's just about seeing clearly. And I would like to talk about that just a little bit today, if I may. And because I do believe there's plenty of vision in our church. I do believe that God is doing a good work in our church right now. And there's this thing that I like to say because I believe it. I don't just say it. I don't feel like it's cliche. I feel like it's truth. And that is this, that if God is doing a good work in our church, what that means is God's going to do a good work in you because you are the church. I think more than ever, as we are in an auditorium of a high school, we recognize the church really isn't the building. Like, there's nothing sacred about this place. There's nothing sacred about our building next door. Nothing. What's sacred, what's holy, what's set apart, what's special is you. Amen. I got about one-third of you, but it's true. And some of you need to buy into and believe that. And the reason that you're special is because if you're in Christ Jesus, you're unlike anything else in all of creation. And I just want to talk today a little bit about vision. Vision for us and vision for you. I'm going to start in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Very familiar scripture for a lot of people. It says this. This is the voice of the Lord, by the way. He was speaking to a Bible character named Jeremiah, but I want you to hear this as if he's speaking to you. Can you do that? I want you to receive it personally because I believe you can. And he says this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And some of you, that's like relieving. God has a hope for me? God has a future for me? Absolutely, he does. And can I talk about that just a little bit? Is that okay? Can I get permission from somebody? I want to talk about this vision, this hope, and this future. And so here's what I want to do today. I'm going to talk about it from maybe like a corporate level, like us as a church, and then prayerfully it narrows down to you as a person. That would be my hope from today's delivery. If it doesn't feel that way for you at the end, that means I failed you, and I apologize in advance, okay? But that's what I'm aiming for right now. And so I want to do this. We're going to look at three things today. We're going to take a quick look back. We're going to take a quick look around, and then we're going to take a quick look forward. Does that sound fair? Just a quick look back, quick look around, and a quick look forward. And I'm going to start with looking back because here's something I've discovered about myself. I am a major, major rear view mirror leader. Let me explain what that means. I go forward a lot based on what's behind. I look in the rear view mirror of my life, of our church, leadership, family, and I learn powerful things from where I've been. I learned things like, ooh, that was a mistake, Josh. Let's don't do that again. I learned things like that was super valuable and that was way important for you. Let's figure out how to duplicate that system in your life. I love looking back. It really helps me to avoid mistakes I've made before, and it helps me to aim at wins that I've experienced before. It's just the way I like to lead. I'm very heavy in the rearview mirror. Some of us are so ambitious, we never look back. And how many of you guys know reminiscing is a good thing? Every once in a while, it's good to be like, man, you remember when? How many of you guys have ever said, you remember the good old days? Where y'all at? Come on. Yeah, man, I'm at that age now. I'm there. I've arrived. Man, you remember when? Man, back when I was a kid. Okay, come on, I'm doing it. I am. But it's healthy sometimes just to reminisce. So can we just reminisce for a moment as a church? I just want to go back to March 27th, 2022. That was the first day we occupied the auditorium of St. Augustine High School. We called it a soft launch. It was like a pre-launch. It was like, we think we know what we're doing. Let's actually go live and find out if we do. And we kind of did. We did okay. But we realized right away, like, man, there are holes in this cup and, like, fluid's leaking. We got to patch them up at the lowest level and work our way up to the highest kind of flaws that we had. But there was a reason for this move, this expansion. So let me just give you a quick history. Like, if you don't know, maybe you're new to our church or just haven't been around in our church long. If you didn't know, we actually own property just right across the little street, right next door to this building we own. We own like 3.3 acres or something and buildings and, you know, whatever. It's just right there. And for years and years, since 1995, Church on the Rock has met on that property and hosted church services there since 1995. I am not that old yet. I'm getting older, but I haven't been the leader of our church that long. But I was a part of that shortly thereafter. So in 1995, we began to meet over there. And then all of a sudden, God changed. I'm a little pre-March 27th, 2022, all of a sudden. But God would then call me to become the lead pastor of our church. I jumped into that with all that I am. Like, I was like, God, if you say go, I will stand. Like, I withheld nothing. I just want you to know. I just all in to the call of God to lead this church. I've had the joy to do that now for more than 11 years. It's been the ride of my life. I love it. I want you to know I'm full of energy, I'm full of passion, I'm full of vision, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, God would have to audibly part the heavens and speak to me to change the play for my life. I love this job, I love this serve, I love what I get to do. And so as we begin to just seek God as a church and begin to just be obedient, we begin to grow pretty quickly, and we grew, pre-COVID grew into a place where we were doing 3 services every single Sunday, back to back to back. We were gathering together our strategies to launch our 4th service and split our day. We were going to do 2 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon and all this kind of strategy. COVID changed the world. COVID changed us. All this stuff starts to change. We go through COVID, and let's fast forward through that in the name of Jesus. Okay, we go through all that. All right. And then we get back into a bit of the new normal. Normalcy started to come back, meaning we were able to gather again, and people were coming back to the buildings again, and all the right, like, it was all sort of coming back to quote normal. And we just, as a team, we just began to evaluate, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Real estate's at premium prices. Interest rates are climbing. Every material in the world's backed up. I mean, what's our next step? Are we going back and climbing that mountain again of 1 service, 2 service, 3 service, 4? Are we going to do that? And we just chose not to do that. We decided, let's try a different hill. We know how to do that. Quite honestly, and I say this very humbly, I promise, like, I feel like we were doing it pretty well. We knew how to turn them over. We knew how to set them up. We just knew how to make it happen. We just decided, man, we don't want to go back. Let's just try something different. And hence the vision was born to come here. And so on March 27th was our soft launch into St. Augustine High School. It was the beginning of our expansion because all of our kids, we're still doing church over there right now as we speak. We have all that space is all completely dedicated to children. And then Easter came, and we called it the grand opening and all that stuff, and just like every Easter, a lot of people came, and then the next week, some of y'all came back. Come on, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. But now I want to take a quick look around. Is that okay? Just let's look around a little bit, because I want to start here by just saying thank you to to every single person still connected to our church. I think you guys are amazing and I appreciate it. Thank you for being a part of this family. Thank you for putting up with the changes. Thank you for trying it. Thank you for leaning in. Thank you, Serve Team, for being stinking awesome. I love you guys so much. You have no idea. Thank you to those of you who have continued to faithfully give and be generous. Thank you to those of you that have just faithfully attended. Just thank you, because what we've gone through was so different. I mean, it's a whole different hill. It's a whole different challenge. It took us weeks to even discover what problems were isolated and what problems were rhythmic. Like, do we have system issues or did we just have a bad moment? I mean, it took us weeks. When I look around, there's still, like, it's not perfect. How many of you guys were here pre-mobile air conditioners in the hallways? Come on, sweat yourself to death. Like, so bad, like, I don't even think I want to go to church there. I can't do it. It's like going to church outside. Come on, like, this is America. I know what y'all were thinking. It was difficult. We did our best to call audibles. We have issues, like right now, there are issues. Look at all those lights. Look up. I know that the online audience can't appreciate this, but all those lights on that rack, and we can control one. We have control of one. Right? It's unbelievable, the frustrations that has been for us, and we're working on it, and we're trying to hire people and get professionals in here, and our Serve Team's been in here, those tech geniuses that make all this kind of stuff happen. They've been in here on Friday nights, all day Saturdays, troubleshooting and working to make a better experience for you, and we still have just one light, because even in their genius, and they are smart, they are capable, they are talented people. There's some blocks that we can't seem to hit. We can't get the district to turn the air conditioners down any lower for us. It's as cold as they'll allow us to make it. I'm so sorry if you're hot. And if you're like cold natured, you're like, thank God for the district. I get it, right? All right, it's like a thunderstorm is going to start right in the middle of the auditorium any given moment. But here's what I want to say. Like, there have been challenges in this expansion. There has. But, you remember when we used to be in the auditorium over there, and if you were sitting in the back row and somebody was having a conversation in the lobby, you couldn't hear anything that was going on from the platform because all you could hear was them. Where y'all at? Come on. Y'all remember when you would go into the overflow, which the overflow was about that much space and a lobby that had that much space? Y'all remember that? And you'd be sitting there, and then there would be a reverberation from the TV and the actual speakers inside the room, and you're like trying not to lose your mind, just pay attention. And then somebody has to come to the bathroom, and they just blow out the auditorium like, what? Whoa, come on. How many of y'all experienced overflow? And come on, you remember that? Remember when we didn't have enough space to get us all together at one time, and we had to set up tents every weekend out on the patios, and if it was raining, guess we don't socialize today. Good luck, go home, right? Or in August, you're sweating to death because it's 118 degrees in the most humid state in the United States of America. Anyway, I'll stop there. Just awful. We're just trying to be a family, and we're just trying to have church. And then you'd meet people in the community and be like, oh, cool, you talk about church. Oh, yeah, where do you go? I go to church on Lock. You do? You know, like, what? Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you new? No, I've been going for 3 years. Me too. And then you never met each other, right? Look at us now having the opportunity. Having the opportunity to be here together at one time. Having lobby space. There's more hallways in this facility than you could walk. I'm telling you, miles of it, it feels like. And guess how much we have access to? As much as we want. San Augustine High School has been amazing to partner with. The way they've treated us and the way that they've just said, man, just any way we can serve you, you're serving us. We're enjoying it. We're loving it. They've been amazing. Let me tell you right now that if we were still in the other building next door meeting the way that we used to meet, we'd have a couple major issues. And the first one is that our kids would not have room for the amount of kids that we're serving currently, like right now as we speak. The fact that they got to spread out and use all the square footage over there, and we transformed the spaces and gave it completely to them, has completely just been like a pressure relief valve to them, like, oh, this is great. We actually have room to serve the kids. We have room to grow with our kids. If we were still over there, we're already at attendance numbers where we'd be talking about 3 services right now. It would be essential that we launch a third one to make room for you. And let me just tell you something from my experience, and we did that for years. It is brutal on the Serve Team. It is so difficult to turn it over and go back to back to back to back the way that we were doing. We just chose a different hill. And when I look around, I go, I like where we're at. appreciate the opportunities that God has given us. I appreciate the space that we have. I appreciate the balcony. I appreciate the fact that there's room for me to invite people. I appreciate the fact that we have just neat elements. Like we had to add a transportation team to be able to serve you across 3 parking lots, 2 campuses, and the awkward spaces that we occupy. We just, all of Varela is just the weirdest place on earth, and we occupy all of it. It's amazing. So how can we move you comfortably as best we can? Bought 2 trolleys, trying to make it experiential and make it fun for you and make it not just a long walk or just a boring thing, but like, what can we do to make this better than just the sidewalk, right? And so we've done everything that we can. When I look around, I just say, God, I like where we are. I appreciate, Father, that you opened the door for us to be here. And I look around and I go, this is great. I'm thankful. One of my mentors always says that answered prayer produces new problems. New problems. God, give us a baby, Lord Jesus. We want a baby so bad. Father, would you give us a baby? And this is a real thing, by the way, for a lot of people. And then God responds to that prayer. In 3.5 months, you're like, God, give me some sleep. Lord Jesus, can I just, Lord God, can I have some sleep in my life? It's an example. That answered prayer produces new problem. God, would you grow my business? God, would you just give me more clientele? And then you're going, God, would you please send me employees? God, would you please give me clients that aren't idiots? Lord, please. Where y'all at? Come on, right? Answered prayer does produce new problems. So when we look around, yeah, there are issues, there are challenges, there are difficulties. But guess what? This is the hill we're on, and I like it. I'm glad to embrace these issues. I'm glad that we can overcome them. I'm glad that we get to learn and expand and do something different than we've ever done before. I'm glad there's space for your friends and your family to come. I'm glad. Not everything is perfect or ideal, but I love the hill we're climbing together. Thank you. When I look around, I see you. Thank you so much for being a part of this with us. It's incredible. Now let's look ahead. You want to do that? Now listen, this is just in the short term. I just want to look just right ahead. I don't have any big vision to unpack for you about where we're going to be in 3.5 years. I don't. But I do have an incredible amount of people and team members surrounding me helping with that. For example, we have at our church, we have what we call an executive leadership team. And these are people that gather together and we make high-level decisions for the church, and we seek God and talk together and have conversations and listen to each other's perspectives and what do you see and what do you think, and we make decisions that way. We have a board of directors that gathers together on a regular basis and helps us to understand how to finance the vision that God has called us to. What do we have? Where are we trying to go? All right, what's the best stewardship to use in order to get us where God's calling us to be? They're incredible. We have a church staff here that makes the day-to-day operational decisions to serve you. We have I'm going to brag on you guys again. Unbelievable serve team. Unbelievable serve team. I don't know what the count is currently, but I know it's at least 175 of you that serve on a regular basis on rotations to make things happen. You guys are unbelievable. And so listen, there is vision. There is strategy, but I just want to talk for a second more about the vision of who we are. Because ideally, as I stand on the platform in a high school, in a rented space, looking at you, talking about some of the struggles and the challenges and the hill that we're climbing, ideally, I would love to say, we just acquired property, someone gave us $18 million, and we're going to build a state-of-the-art facility that's big enough for all of us. It's going to be amazing. We're going to do outreach from it. We're going to serve families. That would be killer, but I can't say any of that, because that isn't currently true. But we have vision, we have strategies, and I've got a team of people doing some real estate hunting, and I've got a board of directors working on the financial prowess of how we're going to make certain things happen. But can I say something? And let me digress. Can I just get transparent like I always am with you? That the facility thing has been a struggle for me personally, like a struggle. I feel a sense of obligation to do it for us. I feel like it's part of my calling. I feel like this is part of what God's asking of me, and I've been wearing this weight for a couple of years, several years now. Like, okay, God, in every single thing we've tried to do, something has fallen through. Every time, won't work, this limitation, that's no good, nope, that's not the right deal, whatever, it doesn't even matter. And I'm just at a spot where I just said, during this 21 days of prayer, I just said, God, it's all yours. I trust you. I know that you got us covered. And so I'm not taking ownership of that anymore. God, it's yours. I'll continue to do my part, but God, I'm going to trust you to do your part. Can I make a statement right here? Our church, as much as a building would be nice, where we don't have to set up and we don't have to take down, as much as those things would be beneficial, listen carefully, and this is how we're going to close today. We are not called to build buildings. We're called to build people. That's who we are. And so I want to just take a quick look ahead. Is that okay? I want to take you to some scripture. Some of you guys thought, will he ever get there? Does this guy preach from the Bible? Yes, I do. John chapter 1. Gosh, what a great, man, one of my favorite chapters in all of scripture is John chapter 1. That's in the New Testament of your Bible, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, if you're curious and want to read it. But I want to read just some verses this morning, if I may. There's this guy in the Bible, his name's John the Baptist, pretty well-known character within scripture. Perhaps you've heard of him. If you've been to Sunday school, you definitely have. If you're new to church, maybe you've heard about him as he's pretty popular. And if not, that's fine. You don't have to have any background to be able to grab today's content. But John was a pretty polarizing figure. He was kind of known, and he drew crowds, and people were like interested in him, and he was unique and different, he was magnetic, man. People just wanted a little bit celebrity status, perhaps, if you can put your mind around that way of thinking. And all these people are interested, like, to know more about him. It's like paparazzi was kind of around, and they just want to put the microphone in his face, like, say some stuff. We're into you. You know what I mean? We follow you on Instagram, and it's so cool. And the Bible says this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, so here comes paparazzi, all right, that's my little loose term for them. And they said, who are you? And he came right out and said, I am not the Messiah. Let's don't get this messed up. I am not Jesus. Verse 21, well then, who are you? They asked, are you Elijah? No, he replied. Are you the prophet that we're expecting? No. And I'll just pause right there, because this reincarnation was a big thing. And they're like, oh, maybe you're one of these great people that we knew of before. Like, you're so amazing. Are you one of them, or are you something new? They're just like, who are you? They're trying to put their mindset around who John the Baptist is. So they, are you Elijah? No. Are you a prophet we're expecting? No. Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say for yourself? I want you to really pay attention to verse 23, because John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah. I am the voice in the wilderness declaring, prepare the way of the Lord. I think John the Baptist is a beautiful representation of us. Now, you might not consider yourself polarizing. You might not consider yourself somebody to be very popular or very well known. You might not have a bunch of people paparazzi style putting microphones in your face, media wanting to know, like, what do you say about yourself? But a lot of you have followers on all your social media, right? And let me tell you something, if you're a born-again Christian, you have people watching you, and many of them expect you to be Jesus. And I love the fact that John's like, oh yeah, that's not me. Don't misrepresent me for Jesus, because that's not who I am. It's not what I do. And who are you? And maybe this is the question for you and I. Who are you? Who are you? I would love to answer the question for you today. I believe that John the Baptist gives us our answer. Who are you, Christian? I am one who prepares the way for the Lord. That's my job. That's my calling. That's my serve. I prepare the way. The quick look ahead is, because we're not called to build buildings, we're called to build people, is that I believe that God has called us to do what we can do. There's only certain things we can do, right? We can park cars. We can set up signage. We can make kids' spaces bright and exciting and fun. We can set up a transformative appearance to a school lobby and make it look and feel as much as we can like a church lobby. We can make the bathrooms a little nicer than they were early this morning when we first arrived. We can do certain things. We can hold doors for people, and we can shake hands, and we can greet, and we can compliment, and we can tell people how great we think they are, and we can pray for people. We can get in life groups with one another. We can talk together. We got all these things that we can do. But listen, we're only able to prepare the way. Like, that's what we do. We can do our very best to set the most excellent atmosphere possible so that you can come in and experience something, enjoy something. We'd love for you to come in and be as comfortable as possible. Remain anonymous if you choose to. Engage if you want to. We just love to do it. This is who we're called to be. We set atmospheres. We prepare the way. But the reason that we do that is because of what only He can do. And what God does is He changes people's hearts. And we've got that understood here at Church on the Rock. I can't change your heart. It's impossible. Impossible. If you expect me as a pastor to change your heart, you're like the Pharisees. Are you the Messiah? And I would love to say, no. Don't misplace who I am. Know who I am not. I am not Jesus. I am an ambassador for Him. I am called to prepare the way for Him. He happened to put a pastoral calling on my life, and I walk in it. Others of you, there's a different kind of a calling. Like Miss Jan, I just want to be behind the scenes. I don't want to lead. Okay, that's great. We have a place for you. Some of you, you're just born leaders, man. Like, I want to lead. I want to be in charge. Great, great. There's opportunities all over our church for that to take place. Case in point, life groups start today. But my job, your job, prepare the way. His work, change hearts. Because listen, I just believe with all of my heart that if we do our part, it prepares the way for Him to do His part. I just believe that if we can remove every distraction possible, then maybe people will be comfortable enough to open up to the Lord and say, okay, God, what do you want to do in me? And then God comes in and does the work. He does the real work. He does the transformative internal work that changes us from the inside out. Check this out. I don't have time for context. I need to wrap this up. But I want to take you to a couple verses in Ezekiel. I can't give you the background. Just follow me. You'll see it. You'll see it. You don't need to know what's going on. There are people that have been exiled. They're like out of their calling. They're not where they're supposed to be. And the voice of the Lord speaks to a prophet and says, son of man, the people still left in Jerusalem are talking about you and your relatives and all the people of Israel who are in exile. Watch. They are saying those people are far away from the Lord. There's a recognition that there are people that are far from God. I want you to hear me say that at Church on the Rock, we have that understanding. There are people everywhere that are far from God. And we feel like, what can we do about that? What can we do about that? If people are far from God and we have found hope and we have found peace and we have found vision and we have found a future, what can we do about that? We prepare the way. It's called Church on the Rock. It's just the way we prepare for people. Watch. We're going to jump a couple of verses forward in verse 19. Watch what the Lord declares. I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. Watch. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. Church on the Rock, this is the work of God. This is what only He can do. It's impossible, serve team, for us to do that. But we can set up a killer lobby. We can do our best to make a service flow and seamless transitions, and we can have a really warm, welcoming heart, and we can truly love God and love people. And that's how we prepare the way. This is how we build people. As we say, hey, guess what? Everybody's welcome, because nobody's perfect. When people say, I don't know, I got issues, we're like, awesome, you fit right in. You're just like us. Welcome to church. Glad you're here. Why? Because we understand what we're called by God to do. Prepare the way. Why? Because we know what God can do. There are people in this room. There are people online. There are people that couldn't be here this weekend. You get it. You prepare the way. You prepare the way for God so that God can change people's lives, hearts, stories, put a new spirit within them. Here, I got to close, everybody, and I want to close with this verse because some of you, this is what you need. Some of you are walking with God and you need this. Some of you are far from God and you need this. I would love for this to be your prayer. It was the prayer of King David. In Psalm chapter 51, verse 10, he said these words, "Create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me." With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would ask that no one's looking around just for a couple of moments. I want to just ask you, where are you with God today? Where are you? Are you far from Him? Is there distance in your relationship? Here's the beautiful thing. You can always come back. You can always come back. Some of us, we just need to get before the Lord and say, "God, just create in me a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." Some of us, we will start a relationship with Jesus right here, right now, in this moment. This is your moment. And so here's how we do it at our church. We always ask people to just repeat a very simple prayer. There's nothing special about this prayer. It's just words. What's important is what's taking place in your heart. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit of God is doing a supernatural work inside of you. So we do what we do so that He can do what only He can do. So if that's you and you are far from God today, I just would love for you to repeat this prayer after me. I'd love for you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Hey, would you stand up and put your hands together for those that made that decision? Come on, Church on the Rock. We got to celebrate culture around here. You can do better than that. There we go. Hey, if you made that decision, congratulations. We're proud of you. Listen, that connection card that Austin talked about is a very important tool. And we would love for you to please, if you connected with God today, document that on that connection card and let us know. Does that sound good, everybody? All right, listen, as we finish our day, we're just going to go before the Lord and just sing one more portion of a song before we end our day. Would you join us? We'll have prayer partners down front. If you need prayer this morning, let's just praise God.